Welcome to the Quest Fishing Adventures podcast, chapter 3. Welcome back to another Quest Fishing Adventures podcast. I hope you're doing well, and if you've been fishing since my last podcast, I hope you put a few on the bank. Well, I am super buzzing about this trip, honestly. Why? Because I'm going catfishing. I've never had a catfish before, so this is going to be a complete new learning curve for me, and I cannot wait because I've always wanted to catch one. This little adventure in my head started the back end of last year now, round about October. I think I might even start looking in September time. I think more October time, I've started looking at venues and where I can go to catch my first catfish. And this lake here, Charlie's Lake, Ashford, cropped up to be a decent venue to go to. There looks to be quite a decent head of catfish in there. So I think there looks to be some like low doubles, like, you know, from like 10 pounders up to 15, 20, 30 pounders. But there is some stunners in there as well, and the stunners are coming out. It looks like the biggest catfish in there is around about 76 pounds there, but I could be wrong there. Please bear in mind, these facts I've got is only what I've been looking on their Facebook page and trying to talk to people on there. But I had a quick chat with the owner, a very brief chat with the owner. Well, in fact, I put a question on there and she answered it, and she's anticipating there's going to be an 80 pound plus catfish coming out this year. So even though I have said there's a lot of small ones in there, there's definitely a lot of bigger ones in there as well. Personally myself, I don't really mind. It's the first time I'm going catfishing. I just want to catch a catfish, but I am setting a little target, a little goal for myself. I do want to catch a 30 pounder. Not gonna lie, I do want to catch a 30 pounder. And by looking at the catch rate at the moment, it's looking possible. It really is looking possible. I'm going Friday morning. I can start fishing at 7 o'clock in the morning, and I have to be off the lake at 7 o'clock in the evening on Saturday. I'm being joined with Mark and Andrew. Andrew's got some catfishing experience behind him, but Mark himself is also a freshie as well. So all of us are super buzzing about it. Really can't wait to get down there. So a quick little overview on Charlie's Lake in Ashford. It's got 19 swims on there. Looks to be about 13. Looks to be about three doubles and the rest singles. We have booked a double and a single next to each other. As of yet, we don't know which swim we are personally fishing in. We're going to draw lots when we get there and decide on the back of that. But they are next to each other as well, so we can also have a social as well. One of the great things about this lake that kind of really drew me to it is they provide a net, they provide a sling, and they provide the cradle. And why is that a good thing? Because yes, I have got a net, a sling, and a cradle for my carp fishing, but catfish are a lot bigger, and they require a bigger net. They're going to require a bigger sling and a bigger cradle. And I wanted to get my foot in the door, so this was a great place to come to if they're going to provide that as well for free. So I haven't got to go out and buy it. So yeah, I don't know how many times I'm going to keep saying it. I'm absolutely buzzing about this one. So Charlie's Lake in Ashford. Let's reel on from here. So this is, as I've already said, the first time that I've ever been catfishing in my life. So I really am going to do my best here to take you all on the same journey that I'm going on. Like, not only for you know, experienced catfishing anglers that may listen to this episode, but also for newbies that may want to go catfishing. I really am going to try and tell you everything, absolutely everything, what I do, how I do it, what rigs I'm using, down to exactly how I've made that rig. Everything in detail as best as I can. So I'm going to start here with my rods. Now, my rods to me was a big question that I've been asking myself since October time is, you know, are my rods going to be able to handle a big catfish? And I have been asking around on forums. I've got the Gray's GT 50s, and I have been asking on forums, and it's been a mixed bag of whether or not my rods can handle them or not. Most people are saying yes, they can, and by the look of the stamp of catfish in the lake that I'm going to, I could probably say, yes, they could handle the catfish in there. But what I was really, really concerned about more than whether or not, you know, my rod might snap is I don't want to find myself in a situation where I've got one of the larger catfish on, if I'm fortunate enough to get one, and then not be able to hold that catfish from stopping that from wiping out other lines or, like, you know, in the lake. I want to be able to have control on it. So what I did decide to do, I did decide to go out and buy 3 new rods specifically for this trip, obviously, and then going forward, because I'm sure I'm going to be going catfishing from here on. So yet again as well, looking on different websites on catfishing rods, asking on forums, you know, what is a kind of a good place to start for a new catfish angler. And believe it or not, honestly, I was completely shocked by this, completely shocked by this. A lot of people were saying, go and get yourself the NGT's XPR catfish rods. They're really good, a really good catfishing rod to start off with. Where you'll be going, they'll be absolutely perfect for that venue. And and these rods are, they're like, they're 3 meters long. The casting weight's 200 grams, so that's ticking every box for me. A lot of the catfishing rods don't actually take say that what the test curve is on them, but from speaking to people, they seem to think the test curve on these rods is around about 5-6 pounds. So absolutely perfect. And why are these rods so good? Because of the bloody price of them. Honestly, right? I bought them from a website called Fish Deal, which I must admit I've never ordered from them before, so I was a little bit dubious of going on there. The rods look cheap. You can find these rods on eBay as well, you know, a few pounds more. But I was dubious about going on this website, thinking I've never used this website before. Are they going to be trustworthy? Yes, they were trustworthy, absolutely trustworthy. The delivery was really quick. I can't remember. The turnaround from ordering them must have been about 3, 4, 5 days. It was that quick. So let's talk about the price. Why was the price so good? Because they cost me £28.25 each. Absolutely amazing price. Really was an amazing price. Obviously, I've not used them yet, so I might take them out there and I might snap up. But literally, not one person that I've spoken to on a forum has said a negative thing about them. So from that, you know, I'm sold and I'm sure they'll be absolutely perfect. But by the time we get to this end of this podcast, hopefully I've had a few cats. And that'll answer the question, and I'll give you my review of them, my full review at the end of them, at the end of this podcast. So the next thing, the next worry that I had in my head was, you know, reels, are my reels going to be good enough as well? Because as you know, catfish really do put up a good stonking fight. And I was thinking, are my reels going to be any good? Am I going to kill my reels if I get a big catfish on? But I have decided to stick with my reels. At the currently I've got the Daira 19 Emblem 45 SCW reels, and they have a drag of 15 kgs. So yet again, I really do feel like from looking at the stamp of catfish in this lake, I think that my reels will be absolutely adequate for handling the catfish in this particular lake. If I do get the catfishing bug, which I'm sure I will, I will look to buy proper catfishing reels going forward. But these look like, from talking to people on the forum, they're saying these reels will be absolutely fine. Obviously, some people were saying, no, you should get bigger ones. But going back to the stamp of catfish in this lake, these are going to be absolutely fine. So I stuck with them. And I think I'm going to be completely happy, and I think that's going to be fine. But yet again, at the end of this podcast, I'll give you my overview on that as well, on how they felt and how they were with it. I thought it was really important to talk about the rod and reel, because if you're going catfishing for the first time, you're going to be asking the same questions as me, which is why hopefully from at the end of this podcast, if you are new to catfishing, this will be a really good podcast to listen through. And I do apologize if you've been catfishing already and you don't need to hear all this, just skip forward. Obviously not a problem to me actually getting down to the lake. Line wise, obviously catfish as well, you've got to use a stronger line. Obviously the water that I'm fishing has its own rules that you have to follow. And one of the rules is you've got to have a heavy line, like a stronger line. I think the minimum, I think it said a £20 on mono. I would have to double check again, but I've covered myself there. I wanted to get a strong line. I went for £30 mono. I went and bought obviously new line as well. So I got some Daira Hyper Sensor £30 mono. Which I'm sure will be absolutely fine. It's not an expensive line in the slightest, but it is a good line for what I'm going to be using it for. So that's what I've gone with. Daiwa Hypersensor, £30 mono. So moving on to now, like the rod now all being set up, and we've got the reel on there, and we've got a line on there. The rules on this lake here is you can't have a fixed leg system. So you've got to have some sort of running lead system. So I've decided and chosen to use the Fox Edge Camo Run Rig Kit. So literally it's just going to be a running lead up the line. Also, one of the rules in there, I will try and pump out a few rules as I go through it. One of the rules on here is you have to use rig tubing. You have to use at least 18 inches of rig tubing, which is absolutely fine in the slightest. I don't really mind using it. As you guys know, listening to my other episodes, I do tend to use lead core, but here is rig tubing. So I'm going to have, obviously, we're going to have my 18 inch rib tubing, and I'm going to have my Fox Edge Camo Run Rig Kit that's going to slide up and down that. And I've decided to go with like 3-4 ounce leads. And I understand as well, I believe, please bear in mind, I will keep saying this, I am new to catfishing, so I am completely learning on the back of this. So feel free to, you know, put any comments back on my Instagram page, Quest Fishing Adventures, of any pointers you might have for me going forward, or anything like that. I would honestly appreciate that. So I've decided to go for 3-4 ounce leads on that lead system. As I said, what I was going on to say, from what I understand, is catfish are quite finicky as well. So I'm hoping that those lead sizes will be about right. But obviously I have done my research as well, and they do seem to be. But yet again, you know, I am learning. So moving on now to the rig itself. So I decided I didn't want to complicate it too much, basically on the rig side of it. So I'm basically going to use a basic hair rig setup. What I kind of used to use, you know, back in the days when I really first started carp fishing. I think it's worth adding at this point in time now that, from what I understand, and it clearly is, carp fishing is just beefed up carp fishing in a nutshell. So you're literally just beefing everything up. So I've decided to go with a basic hair rig setup. I'm going to be fishing pellets, and I'm going to be fishing luncheon meat, which I will go on in my next segment on that. So let's talk about my basic hair rig that I'm going to be using, and the materials that I will be using to construct that hair rig. So my hook link, I've purchased some Catfish Pro Catlink XT in £70. It's quite scary coming from a carp fishing background on how heavy this stuff is and how thick it is. Like being a carp angler, you're kind of like trying to like really disguise everything and make everything as invisible as possible. This just looking at this catfish and stuff, it just stands out like a sore thumb. It really does. So I've gone with the Catfish Pro Catlink XT in £70, and for my pellets that I will be using, the hooks I'm going to be using for my pellets, I've decided to go with the Catfish Pro BP special hooks. And I've brought size 2/0 in barbless. Big point there, must note that this lake is a barbless hook only. So I've gone with the Catfish Pro BP special hook size 2/0 in barbless. They look to be decent hooks, to be honest with you. I don't, from what I've seen so far, you can't go far wrong using Catfish Pro equipment. They're one of the, obviously one of the catfishing companies out there. There is some other ones out there as well, which I have got some of their gear as well. For the swivel, as I said, everything's got to be beefed up. I've gone with a Catfish Pro HD swivel in £100. And then some shrink tube. So I'm using shrink tube as well. I'm trying to tie my rigs similar as I would to my carp fishing rigs that I would use if I used a bog standard carp fishing rig. I kind of want the hook to turn round into the catfish's mouth, like I would do for carp fishing. I will put a photo up of my rig on my Instagram page, so please go there now and check it out, and you'll be able to see this and get a better understanding. So I've got some Catfish Pro black 3mm shrink tube, which will be going on the end of my hook to basically give it that kink to help hook the catfish if I'm fortunate enough to want to pick one up. And then on the hair itself, to stop my pellets from sliding down onto my hook, I've got some Catfish Pro XXL stopper beads, and that basically, as I just said, that just holds the pellet in place. When you're using boilies, they're quite solid. So when you're putting them on your hair, they don't slide up and down. But because I'm using drilled out pellets, they are going to slide. And the last thing I want is the catfish picking up the pellet and the pellet dropping down on top of the hook. Like, because I'll be using more than one pellet, I don't want any of the pellets to drop down and then just block that hook from going into the catfish's mouth, which is why you've got to use a stopper bead there to hold it in place. As I said, I will put a photo up on my Instagram page for you guys to see, and hopefully this will make more sense. So the hook link itself was another question that one of the questions I think couldn't quite work out. How long does the hook link need to be? Did ask on a forum, got as normal with all the questions I asked, I got a complete mixed bag of answers on this one. But it stood out that people were saying between 12 to 15 inches long. So that's what I've gone with. I have tied some rigs up already, which I will move on to next. So they're in between 12 to 15 inches long. And obviously, when you think about it, they need to be long because obviously a catfish is a bigger fish. It's got a bigger mouth. And if you had a really short hook link, like I would do for carp fishing, you're going to have the weight and everything inside the catfish's mouth, and that's the last thing you want to do. So yeah, so that's my basic hair rig setup. As I said, I will put a picture of it on Instagram for you guys to see. Have a look, judge it. You can judge it and definitely judge it and write any comments back on it on where I could improve it, or if you think it's okay. I'm really happy to read negative comments about my setups or anything that I may be doing, especially when I'm going catfishing, because I want to learn. I want to be doing it right, and I do believe what I will be using on Friday, Saturday is correct. But you know, there's always room for tweaking. So moving on to the rigs and what I'm using on my bait end, the business end, what's going to catch me the catfish. I have pre-tied three rigs already because when I get down there, I don't want to be tying rigs when I'm there. I've talked about this before. I know if I got down there and started tying rigs bank side, I'm going to rush them and they're not going to be right. I'm going to make mistakes because I'm going to be so excited and eager to get my rods out. I'll quickly tie one up, and a failed rig could mean a lost fish, and you know, worst case scenario, it could mean a death to a fish as well, and that's the last thing I want. So I've pre-tied three rigs already, so I can just get there and basically put them out. I'm not just going to go there and chuck them out. I'm going to talk about that a bit more when I'm actually bank side. I am going to suss my swims out when I get there, but I want to put everything in my favor before I go. So I've tied up three rigs. I'm just going to talk you through these three rigs and what I'm going to be, what these rigs are tied up for. So rig number one is going to have two 28 mil halibut pellets, which are squidders. They come in a little plastic tub of squidders, and they've been soaking in some Catfish Pro squid glug. When I say they've been soaking, it's just like a residue of glug in there. There doesn't seem to be, they're not literally immersed in some glug. It's just literally some in there. So they look really good, they smell really good, and then I'm going to tip that with a Big Cat 24 mil oily hybrid fluoro pop-up in yellow. Big Cat seems to be one of the bait companies out there for catfish. They've also got a few videos on YouTube which I watch to try and learn about how you tie these rigs. So we've got two 28 mil halibut pellets with one Big Cat pop-up. I really wanted to use some pop-ups when I was there, because to help, basically, you know, as the whole purpose of a pop-up is, it's going to sort of, the whole purpose of this rig is I'm going to have a yellow pop-up with two of these lovely halibut pellets sitting underneath it, and they're going to be basically sitting on that late bit just over my loose feed, and hopefully when a catfish comes down, the buoyancy of the pop-up will help suck it in, and you know, hopefully catch a catfish. So that's the rig number one. Worth saying as well, these three rigs are all going to be on that hair rig tie up that I previously talked about. So rig number two, I've got three 20 mil halibut pellets, which are also squidders as well. So they've been immersed in the Catfish Pro squid glug. And on that one, I've tipped a 15 mil, yes, a 15 mil krill white pop-up by Sticky Baits. Just to give it that, yet again, that little buoyancy and a little bit of different color to it. I think it's important to say now that these three rigs are different, because I need to try and figure out what the cats are feeding on, what they like. So we've got yellow, we tip one with yellow, we've tipped one with white, and then moving on to my third rig, I've just got three 20 mil Robin Red carp pellets, and that is it. Nothing at all. That is no pop-up on there whatsoever. So that should cover like three different areas there. So we've got ones that's going to be sitting flush on the bottom, we've got one that's going to be with a white pop-up, and one with a yellow pop-up. And hopefully from using those three rigs, hopefully one of them is going to be a standout and hopefully catch me some catfish. Rig number four, which I haven't tied, which I am going to tie bankside. Why haven't I tied this one now? After going on about how important it is that I want to be tying my rigs before I go and not wasting any time, because this fourth rig is going to be fished with luncheon meat. Now, why didn't I tie it? Because I have purchased some Robin Red luncheon meat by Dynamite Baits, and it's hard to tell in the packaging that it's coming on how big of a chunk of luncheon meat I'm going to be cutting off. And I didn't want to cut it up now and then like it go like, and put it in the fridge and it'd be manky. I want fresh bait down there. So I didn't know what the length of the luncheon meat would be when I cut it. So therefore I didn't know how long of a hair to tie my rig. So I will tie that bankside, but what I will do is probably put these three other rigs out first and then tie a luncheon meat rig to put that out after. This stuff looks absolutely amazing, this Robin Red luncheon meat. Hopefully it's gonna go coincide with my Robin Red carp pellets as well. That I've got. They're low oil. You have to use low oil pellets here as well, so they're complete low oil, so I can use them in conjunction with the luncheon meat. So hopefully all these rigs will kind of like suit and tie together and hopefully bring the fish into my area. So yeah, they are my four rigs, my four types of bait that I'm using. An emergency in the background, I have purchased some Dynamite marine halibut pellets in 21 mil, or they're all pre-drilled as well. They're emergency baits I've got there. You never know, I might go for all these baits I've got. If I do, it would be absolutely amazing. Or if I'm not catching on these baits here, I might just try a basic halibut pellet and see how that gets on. So yeah, there's all my baits. Hopefully that makes sense. As I said, I will be posting some pictures on my Instagram page, so that hopefully all this will make more sense from there. So baiting up loose feed, Charlie's Lake does have a bait restriction on what you can use. You have to use low oil pellets as your feed that goes in. If you do go there, please make sure you read these rules. These rules may change and make sure you are following them, which is why I have chosen to use Sona Baits Robin Red feed pellets. I've got 2mm, 4mm and 6mm. They're a high quality pellet, low fish oil pellet enhanced with Robin Red flavour. So yeah, that's what I'm going with. And there's a limit on how much bait you can use over a 24 hour period that you are there. So yes, as I said, if you do go there, make sure you check out the rules, make sure you don't break any of these rules, because you will get banned from there and it's not worth it, especially because I know it's going to be a great venue and I'm feeling quite confident of having a catfish out. So that's pretty much my setup and what I'm taking, my rigs that I'm going to be using, the bait that I'm going to be using as well when I'm going there. As standard, I will be taking the Bushwhacker. Why am I taking the Bushwhacker? Because I want the position. Yes, there is a bait restriction on how much bait you can use there, but I want to be able to put these pellets out over my rig. Yes, I could use PVA bags, and I am taking PVA bags as well, but you know me, I do like using the Bushwhacker. So I will be taking that as well. And when we get there, it's hard to say now. I've not seen the lake. I have, with the pegs that we are in, which I'm not too sure I said, we are in pegs 13 and 14. I've only seen like a little drawing of the map. So without being there, I can't see, you know, what I'm going to be doing, if I'm going to be bushwhackering it out or if I will be casting out with PVA bags. But the option, I'm taking the bushwhackers, you know, I love it. I need the option, it needs to be there just in case I need to use it. So there we go. Do apologize. That's 25 minutes into this podcast already. Pretty much just talking about the venue and what I'm going to be doing. I am buzzing about this. I really am. I was aiming an iron to make, whether to make this a two-parter. I still might, or I might just make it a one-parter just to keep it nice and simple for anyone that may want to listen to it. So anyway, guys, thank you so much for listening to this if you got so this far. And if you do want to have any comments or anything, please do post it on my Quest Fishing Adventures Instagram page. I would love to hear them. But anyway, I'm going to leave this one here and I shall see you bankside, and fingers crossed we're going to catch a catfish or two. Right, I'm not bankside at the moment. I'm just setting my rods up the night before. Now, the reason why I've left this so late is I actually went night fishing last night. So obviously I wouldn't have a chance to set my cat rods up before that because I'm using the reels I use for my catfishing. So I'm basically setting up now and I've just come up against a problem, and I thought this is well worth putting in this podcast, especially if you go and fish this venue or if you have to use silicon rig tubing. So there's the problem around that. So the problem I'm getting is I'm having a problem pushing my mono line through the rig tubing without it getting caught up. And I'm thinking, blimey, how do I do this? Like, it's just getting caught, it's just stressing me out. So I watched a couple of YouTube videos. One of them said, like, at the tip of the mono line, cut it at an angle. So I did that, tried pushing it down, and it didn't work. And another video said, make sure your line's like clean, there's no abrasions on it and all that. My line's brand new, so I know it's not got that at all. So I've cut my mono line at a tip, trying to push it down. It's still not happening. I'm holding it down vertical, like the silicon rig tube, and it's just not going down. And then I remembered something. I used to fish a syndicate lake called Cressacres about 10 years ago. And they, on there, you had to use rig tubing. And I totally forgot about that. So when I fished that, because you weren't allowed to use lead core. So when I fished that, I purchased some tube threader. And I've just pulled out my tackle bag. Absolutely amazing. It does the job. Now, so I'm going to tell you the brand. It's called Nash TT Tube Threader. I have no idea if Nash still sell this, but I'm sure if they don't, someone does. So if you haven't got that, make sure you get that. Otherwise, there's a good chance you're going to have the same problem I did. Or if there's anyone listening to this podcast, please put it in my Instagram on how you thread it down, if there's an easier way. Because it didn't, I will say this, the metal tubing didn't push down really easy. So what I found myself having to do is like push the tubing down as far as it would go, because that would crop as well. And then the tip end that I'm pushing down, I would then hold with my right hand. So I've pushed it in with my right hand. I would hold the end of it with my right hand, and where it's pushed down to in the tubing, I would then pinch that and push it up, and then with my right hand pull it, and just gradually, just like a snail sort of movement in a weird way. That's a way to describe it. And I'd literally just push it down like that, and that's enabled me to push it out all the way to the end. So yeah, job done. There's a top tip for you. Hopefully I'm going to come up against no other problems, and the next time I speak I will be bankside. Right, we're here, it's 9:39. We've been here which is about 7:45, but waiting for Martin to turn up to get here so we could fairly pick the swims and all that. Have to say, upon our arrival, the lakes look really nice, really tranquil, pretty. Looks really nice place. I think the only thing I'm a bit disappointed about right now, and I have to be honest, is the double swim that we're in is, I wouldn't really call it a double swim, not when you're allowed to fish three rods each. That's not too great, but hey ho, that's what we've got to work with. Apart from that, looks really nice. Staff we've spoken to so far, really friendly, can't knock that at all in the slightest, and really helpful and nice, so that's a big plus in my book. So we drew lots, and I've gone in the single swim, which is bottom end of the lake, swim number 13 I'm in, I think it's 13, I'll double check that in a minute. And the boys have in swim number 14, which is a double swim. So I've just put my first rod out in the middle, and I've put it out into the middle of the lake. I've had a plop round on the deeper, I've had a plop round with the mark float just to try and feel the bottom, get the depths, try and see what it's like. I see quite a fish of movement out there on the deeper, which excites me a lot. I found a few like gravel patches
So basically I put that rod on the gravel patch, which is just about 7.25 wraps out, because I wrapped it up as well. So now I can just basically just cast out to it. I was going to use the bushwhacker to put it out, but I was kind of thinking, I don't think the presentation, with because the rig's so long, is going to be that great. Then I'm going to on that, how I'm going to do that. So I might have to do that in the one I'm going to put under the tree, which we're going to in a little bit. So on that one, I put out on the two 28mm squidders with a pop-up yellow boilie on it and a PVA bag. And I might just leave that as it is for now and see how that gets on. And now I'm going to do the left-hand side rod, so I shall update you guys in it. Also, should really add as well, apologise, Andrew's already had one. He's lost two, in fact. And he managed to land one, the third one. Went 23 pounds, I think it was. Really nice, man. Really nice. I'm well chuffed for him. So it's only a matter of time before we can hopefully get one out. So enough talking for now. Let's get the next rod out and update you guys. Just set my second rod up, and Andrew's just had a 30 pound catfish. Fair play, I was gonna swear then. Fair play, man. I'm so excited for him. I really am. Really buzzing for him. Right, so he's had that. Well, I've just got my right hand rod out. I've like cast towards sort of like there's an island sort of near there. Sorry, I just had a pickup then as well, or a liner or something on the rod I literally just put out. So that one, yeah, as I said, it's just over 7.5 wraps towards the island. And on that one, I've got two of them 20mm red pellets with a PVA bag on. Yeah, I am peg 13 as well. I've just seen them where it says peg 13. So that's out. Going to do the left-hand side rod now. So I originally was going to do that then, but I decided to put that one out first. And I'm going to tie up a lunch and meat rig for that, because that's what Andrew's had always on so far, and it's kind of makes sense, doesn't it, really, to put lunch and meat one out if he's catching on lunch and meat. So let's get that tied up, let's get it put out. It's 13 minutes past 10. Come on, I want my first catfish. Right, it's 10:40 and I finally got my my last rod out, which is my left hand side rod. I put it under the tree to the left of me, 8 sections out there, and I've just tied up a nice lunch and meat rig. I'm using that Dynamite Baits Robin Red meat. Looks really nice, smells lovely, and it smells like I really want to eat it, if I'm honest with you. Definitely. And on that, yeah, bushwhackered out, and I basically pushed it out and dumped in a load of them Sona Robin Red feed pellets as well. So it's got a nice little bed of pellets over the top of it. Hopefully, I mean, that meat smells so nice, so strong. Hopefully that picks something up, surely. So that one's out. So and we're fishing now, all three rods are out. Will say though, my right hand rod fishing to the far island over there, that's had a few bleeps now, so I'm not too sure if they're liners or had pickups basically and dropped, so that concerns me a little bit, I'm not going to lie to you. I'll keep an eye on that. I can always basically recast it, that's not a problem, don't mind doing that at the end of the day. So I'll probably give it a little bit and maybe then recast it and see what happens, but meanwhile, gotta sit tight, relax and enjoy myself. Come on the carp, come on the carp, come on the cats. Right, Bailiff's just been around, absolutely amazing guy. Really helped us out. So we've all been going wrong, we've been going too big with what we've got on. Too many pellets, too many boilies, like on the rig itself. He says other catfishing lakes that works, but not on this lake. So like I've just basically just done my third rod. So I'm redoing all my rods again, and literally he said Robin Red pellets are like really good pellets down here, they work really well. So luckily I've got some of them 20mm Robin Red pellets, so I'm putting on my first rod one Robin Red carp pellet tipped with a yellow pop-up, but I cut down that yellow pop-up this time, so it's completely cut down, so literally it's just tipping it. So that's gone out to the island to the far right. The middle rod I'm going to redo, on that one I'm just going to put a single 20mm Robin Red pellet. And on my first rod, I'm going to keep the lunch and meat on that one and see what happens with that one, basically. I don't think I'm doing much wrong on there, really. It just needs to be a small size bit of lunch and meat-ish. So I'm going to roll with that. So fingers crossed, it's going to make all the difference. Come on, then. Oh, sugar, I just forgot. Also, our hook links are too long. So what I was told, that obviously would work on other catfishing lakes, but he says my hook links are too long. So basically, bro, I've got like, what did I say, I've got like 12, 14 inches, 15 inches of hook link. I've dropped it right down now, and literally I'm just going to do about six inches sort of thing. So almost like a carp rig, 6 inches, 6, 7 inches. Really, really small in comparison. So I'm just scaling everything back down, and fingers crossed it's going to make the difference. Well, I just lost a catfish on that right-hand side rod that I just put out, 22 minutes past 12. So what that guy said worked, can't knock that at all in the slightest. So put it back out again on the same spot. So glad I wrapped it up now. I was going to keep putting them on the same spot, and you know, definitely that one now. It's obviously a nice spot there, nice bit of gravel that I found. Feeling it down, I can feel the donk as I'm dropping it down. It's doing a nice donk. And just like, if I keep like basically casting to the same spot, putting a PVA bag on, I'm just going to keep adding bait. I know the cats are going to be engulfing that bait up quickly anyway, but at least it's going to start clearing the ground anyway. So yeah, I'm buzzing, even though I've lost one. Right, just got the last rod out, which is the meat rig. Literally, I've chopped it down to like the same size as those Robin Red pellets, which is 20 mil. I literally bushwhacked that out again with pellet over the top on that one. Yeah, that's eight sections out on the bushwhacker. So yeah, it's just a waiting game now. Fingers crossed this difference is going to put one on the bank for me. Come on. Right, I'm pleased to say I'm off the mark. I'm so happy. £13.4, not a lump, but it's my first ever catfish ever, and I'm absolutely buzzing. It came on the right hand side rod, rod's going now. Came on the right hand side rod, which was the Robin Red pellet with the tips with the yellow pop up. Absolutely buzzing. Well, yes. Right, let's get him back out. Let's see what Mark's got. I don't know if he's got one now. So Mark's just had his first catfish, absolutely buzzing. We've all caught now. I think it was just over £14. So the main thing is, we are all off the mark now, absolutely buzzing. So we can all go home with a smiling face now, because I know I certainly will. And do you know what? It's 13:43. We've got well over 24 hours to go. Yes, just had another one and just beat my PB again. £18.1. Time is 14 minutes past 2, and that came to the left hand side rod, which is in the margins, which is the luncheon meat, a little cube of luncheon meat. I am absolutely buzzing. Yes. Mark's just peed, second one on the bank. Absolute ledge, absolute ledge. Mark's just got his third one on the bank now. Absolutely wicked, mate. Not a big one, but they all count at the end of the day. They all count. I would be lying if I said I wasn't buzzing right now. I've just had a 24 pounder on the nose. Absolutely buzzing, absolutely buzzing. It came on the luncheon meat rig again. When that guy's come around, honestly, massive respect to him, big shout out, because it's been a game changer without a shadow of a doubt. I'm absolutely buzzing. 24 pounds, come on. I really want a 30 now. I know that's greedy, but I really want a 30. Well, I just had another one, £23.8. It fought harder than the 24, well, a long way. Absolute stonker. I am so happy. What a lake, man. Kind of lost count of the boys have had now. But I will update you guys at some point. They've had more than me, in all fairness. They've had more than me. So I've had four now. But I am super chuffed, definitely 100% chuffed. Buzzing. Right, I'll come out on the luncheon meat again. That luncheon meat is a nuts as well, man, definitely. Wow, I just had a mental like 10-15 minutes. I just had two cats, one on the middle rod, which is the pellet on its own, Robin Red pellet, and then one on the Robin Red pellet on the right-hand side rod with tips with that yellow pop-up. Didn't weigh them, probably only went about 15 pounds, 14, 15 pounds, not lumps, but completely buzzing. Oh yeah, what a result. What's the time? Did I say the time? It's 10 minutes past 8. Sun's definitely starting to go down now. Well, I feel like I've just caught the smallest catfish in the lake. But hey ho, they all count at the end of the day. So yeah, let's crack on. What's the time now? 8:28, it's all kicking off. Let's do this. 8:45, I am currently struggling to keep all three rods in, honestly. Middle one's just gone. Didn't weigh it, probably about 15 pounds maybe. But this is bloody amazing. I'm absolutely loving it. Right, I just had another one, about £15. Absolutely crazy, I'm absolutely loving it here so much. What am I going to do, because it looks like the boys aren't going to put their rods out tonight. I still want to definitely fish throughout the night, so I'm going to put one rod out on its own. And the reason why I'm going to do that is because I'm just concerned, because my swim's not that big, because every time I land a fish on my own, I have to like move one of my rods, and I'm worried that, you know, I could end up tangling up with the other line, and I don't want to do that, fish safety and all that. I think it could be quite dangerous for myself as well. So I'm just going to put one rod out and set the alarm for 4 o'clock, get up at 4 o'clock, and then put the other two out then, because then I'll be like half awake, half asleep sort of thing. So that is the plan. At the moment, I've still got 3 rods out, and I need to get my rod back out now. So come on the 30. Absolutely buzzing. Just got a new PB. Time is 10 o'clock. God, 1 minute past 10. I'm just too excited, guys, honestly. Went £26.11. Just come to literally a single Robin Red Boilie. I am absolutely buzzing, honestly. I'm over the moon, and I've still got loads of hours left as well. There's always a chance for 30. Yes, I am buzzing my tits off. I've literally just put that one back, and my other rod rips off. The one on the luncheon meat, £28.11, new PB. Oh my word, I am buzzing so much right now, honestly. Yes, what a lake, what a fish. It's 20 to 11, I've just put another one back, probably about £16-17. I can't seem to get 3 rods out at the moment, since a while back. My spots are clearly paying off now, where I've just constantly been hitting the same spot every time. Nice little gravel patches, and I've just been putting PVA bags on. It's brought the fish in, and it's so cool. I'm so buzzing, I really am. I am absolutely buzzing, I can't believe it. I'm so sorry, guys, I'm a bit like lost for words right now. I just love my fishing so much. This is awesome, absolutely awesome. It just won't stop. I just had another one, and not a big one, maybe about 13, 14 pounds. It's 10.53, I just can't sit down. I'm pooped. This is amazing. Right, 6:24 in the morning. Did I have any catfish last night? Nope. And the reason being, because I decided to reel my rods in. I felt so beat up after all them catfish throughout the day, and especially that mad spell at the end. I just wanted to get my head down, get some sleep, wake up fresh today, and fish today with a nice fresh head on, and hopefully get that 30 pounder out. So I'm just about now to put my rods out. I'm going to pretty much do exactly, well, I'm going to do exactly the same technique that I was doing yesterday. So fingers crossed, we're going to get a 30. Well, it's been a really slow start to this morning. What's the time? 19 minutes past 9. So far, Andrew's had one, and Mark's had one, and I've had none. But hey-ho, still time for him to switch on. It looks like this morning, the bottom end of the lake, from where we are, well, that's the bottom end or top end, but the opposite end to us, the lake, they've definitely had a few fish this morning, so maybe the fish have moved more down that end of the lake, because yesterday morning they did seem to be catching fish, so who knows. But anyway, still enjoying myself, still buzzing from my 28. Yeah, so fingers crossed we get the 30 out still. Well, it's 10 to 1, still haven't had a fish yet today. It's really, really quiet today. A few fish have come out, I must admit, but not in my swim. I think Andrew's had 2 now, I think. I think Mark had 1. He's now gone home now. Yeah, but it's just not going off in my swim. And I have, like, changed, like, basically recast my rods a couple of times now just to, like, refresh in the spot with bait and stuff, but it hasn't made any difference. So I guess, going on yesterday's trend, I did struggle yesterday at this time as well, morning till this time, and it wasn't till the evening until my swim really did kick off. So unfortunately I'm not going to be able to get to that point in time today, but at this present moment in time I'm still buzzing for my 28 pounder, definitely, and it wasn't the only 20 I had at the end of the day, so I feel good about that. Don't feel disappointed. I feel like I won. I feel like I learnt a lot. 110% learned a lot, but we will talk about that in more depth a bit later in the podcast. Well, we've decided to call it a day now. It's 13 minutes past two. I'm all packed up. Andrew's just had another one, which went £21. I will do a full breakdown probably tomorrow, once I've had time to digest it all. But I just want to say, this lake gets 10 out of 10, without a shadow of a doubt. If you want to come and catch a catfish, or you want a good day out, or a good 24, 36 hours out, whatever you want, catching catfish, this is definitely the place to come. There's definitely a lot of cats in here, ranging up to definitely £70 when we spoke to the owner of the lake here today. Yeah, 10 out of 10, really highly recommend it. But yeah, I'm going to break it down a bit later on, tell you my thoughts and everything. So yeah, just hang tight, I need to drive home. Well, let's break it down. It's a couple of days now, I've been back, been thinking about it quite a lot, it's fair to say. Right, obviously I made a few mistakes at the start. My hook links were too long. I had too much bait on, and that wasn't working. Thankfully, the owner of the lake, Steve, he came round early part on our first day there and advised us where we were going wrong. Now, what I want you to take away from this, or one of the things I want you to take away from this, just because we wasn't catching on the bigger hook links and the bigger baits, it doesn't mean that they're not going to work on other catfish venues. What I found out from speaking in forums, etc., is, you know, typically that's what you would do. You'd have a bigger hook link, you'd have bigger baits. But it's clear as day that on this venue, that's not the case. It's the complete opposite, which is not a problem at all. But this is the whole point. If you do plan to book up on the back of this podcast, at least you can get there with your feet running. I've made the mistake, so you don't have to as such. Obviously, I was like, my baits were like, they were like doubled up. They were like, I had three boilies on one. I've tried that. I had two boilies on one, tipped with a pop-up and all that. And it really was just as simple as, so my three rigs that did the business for me, and I will briefly compare them to Andrew's and Mark's as well. So the three rigs that worked for me, all on small hook links, around 6-7 inches long, with the pellet hook from Catfish Pro. Now, what's interesting, well, if I break this the hook down first of all, is when Steve came round, he said that was one of the hooks that he used, which was the pellet hook from Catfish Pro. He did not like the outturned eye ones from, I think Catmaster do a few of them. He also said the quarter wide gapes were a really good hook to use as well for the cats on this lake. So I think the first choice in hook, I think if you go for either a Catfish Pro, the pellet type one, which is just a straight shank, or if you go with a quarter wide gape. I think if I was you, if you was going to go with the quarter wide gape, they do like a thicker one, which I think is the double X. I would go with that one just to play it safe, to be honest with you. The worst thing that could happen, which you don't want, obviously, is a snap off on the hook itself. If you had a catfish hooked, one being, it'd be unfair on the fish, and obviously, you know, you've put all that time and effort in, you don't want to lose it. So I still think go as strong as you can, but just minimise it down. So yeah, go with either of them two hooks. Now, as you guys know as well, I was also putting kickers on my hooks as well. One of my rigs that I tied up a bit after didn't have a kicker on. Did I notice a difference between having a kicker and not having a kicker? Not really. I don't think I really lost any more fish than if you compared them both together. But one thing I can't answer from looking at the kicker was how many situations did I have where a catfish picked up my bait and it didn't hook the catfish? That I can't answer because I didn't have a camera underwater. When I go catfishing again, I will opt for using kickers. And one of the main reasons is the whole principle of using a kicker. You know, it helps turn the hook into the fish's mouth. If I had lost lots of catfish using the kicker, then I would have opted against it. But I was catching fish with the kicker on, so I will opt to use that. It's gonna help turn it in. It's gonna help cook. It's gonna help hook the catfish, you know. And because it's gonna help hook it, it's gonna help it put the hook in that, you know, that maybe that little bit deeper rather than just nicking it. So personally, going forward, I would opt for kickers, but obviously that would be down to you. So rig number one, looking at the bait on that, because that was a Robin Red pellet 20 mil, just one of them, that was doing the business. Second rig, one Robin Red pellet 20 mil tipped with a little bit of yellow pop-up. I had them big 24 mil yellow pop-ups, and literally I was cutting the tip of that off, just the tip, my Robin Red pellet, and that was doing the job as well. Obviously, highly recommend if you're going to be using pop-ups, especially when you're cutting them down, or no, whatever way, if you're using pop-ups, definitely once you've tied the rig and put the bait on, test it in the margins, or test it in a test tank. I did have my test tank with me, but I opted to go in the margins because I had a nice marginal shelf next to me where I could just drop it in and see it very clearly. So definitely using, if you're going to use pop-ups, definitely make sure you test it. The last thing you want is scenario one, the pop-up's too buoyant and it just brings your whole rig up. Or scenario two, it's not popped up enough and it's just laying down, well, more or less like a wafter, which technically wouldn't be a bad thing because it would still it'd still give it that buoyancy aid, which is what you're looking for when you're using a pop-up. So moving on to the third and final rig, it's luncheon meat. Wow, that was the bait that Mark and Andrew were using. They were using luncheon meat as over pellets, and that was doing the job for all three of us. When Steve came around, he looks at Andrew's rig, and Andrew was using a massive chunk of luncheon meat. Now, please bear in mind, Andrew did catch that 30 pounder on a big chunk of luncheon meat, and obviously a big chunk of luncheon meat is going to work. The catfish are going to pick it up. He did persist on using that on one of his rods pretty much the whole session, and he was getting runs on that rod. But what was happening is he was losing a lot of catfish, and that would solely be down to, I would say, the hook wasn't big enough for the meat. He did upscale the hook in on his rig later on, which made a slight improvement in my observation. But I feel with the size hooks he had, he should have personally dropped the size of the meat down more so to make sure, you know, he increased his chances of catching. So bigger lumps of meat do work, but what was doing the biz more for me was I was using around about 20 mil of meat. So I was cutting my meat down to around about 20 mil, which was the size of the size of the pellet that was working. So I'd say definitely cut it down to 20 mil-ish. Mark and Andrew on their other rods, apart from the big chunk one that Andrew had, they were using fairly big chunks of meat. I wouldn't have felt confident in doing that. Apologies, lads, because you'll probably listen to this podcast. I wouldn't feel confident in doing that. I do feel your swim, how it worked out, was fishing better than mine. And I do feel if you were to drop your meat down to around about 20 mil, I think you boys would have hooked more fish or landed more fish on the bank. Even though you had a fair old few blatantly between you, I just think you would have caught more because the fish were predominantly in your swim over mine. Certainly in Andrew's side of the swim where he was fishing in the margins. So I can't remember if I said this or not in the pod already. They shared a double swim, which was in the corner. Andrew took the position on the left, so he had the marginal wall. And most of it, well, pretty much all his butt, well, he's only really fishing that side. He was getting a lot of runs over all of us. in there, and in the first day the wind was hacking in that corner, so it was obviously pushing a lot of it was pushing the water in there and obviously churning up the bottom, which would then churn up bait and which would then attract little fish, which would then attract the big fish. So that was doing most of the runs there. So that's what I would do as an observation if I was, you know, if I was them. And if I went there again, and if you boys go again, I know Mark's booked up already, I would definitely, if you still want to use the bigger meat, definitely drop one rod down to 20 mil. I think that would do more fish for you. Yeah, so that's looking at all three rigs now, exactly what, you know, what we had them on. Really basic, really simple. The other thing that I was using in mine, on my left-hand rod that was going into going just under the tree, I was using the bushwhacker. In the bushwhacker, I was dropping off a handful of pellets in that as well. Not many pellets, just a little small handful of pellets. Because I couldn't cast under the tree where I wanted to get it, the bushwhacker was the only way, just to push it underneath there and drop it in. And on my other two rods, which I would highly recommend, I put PVA bags on with pellets in. Yet again, small PVA bags. And I think one of the biggest advantages I got in the end, which was clear as day at the end of day one, I feel, my personal opinion is, I spent some time mapping out my swim. I put the deeper out first just to get a quick overview of the depths, what the bottom looked like, and then I spent some time with the marker rod out there and found the spots I wanted to fish, which in my case on them two rods was little gravel patches. I then wrapped them two rods up so I knew the distance, and I spent those 2 days basically just casting on them two spots with PVA bags. Now what I feel that why that was good, because it was clear as day on day one that the fish were all in Andrew and Mark's swim, more so Andrew's side. But I feel because I kept to the same two spots, which was right next to them, eventually the fish, once they moved round, they found my area and felt quite confident to feed there. Probably, I guess, maybe throughout the day, where I had a couple, they might have cleared the area a bit more down there. The bait was going down on the same spot, so I guess if a few fish were coming around, they'd pick up some bait, maybe swim off and then come around. There was more bait there. It was kind of definite. The dinner plate was there for them as such. I hope that makes sense anyway. Because end of day one, I could not keep my rods in. I could not get all three out at once. Literally, I was catching one, making up the rig to put back out, and the other one would go off. It just went off on one, and I do think it's because I kept to the same spot. I had the bait going in. The fish knew that. It was almost like they were kind of waiting for it to drop on the spot. So yeah, I do think that. If I was to go there again, and pretty much in all my fishing like that, I do pick a spot and fish to it. Yeah, I don't think there's a problem with plopping around, having a roaming rod. That will of course work, and I think in some cases on there, certainly I would do that. I would roam one round, but my swim wasn't really big enough to do that. But I think a roaming rod is good. But ultimately, I would stick to spots and keep feeding the same spots rather than just roaming all my rods around. Yeah, so PVA bag was definitely a good tactic to use, in my opinion. At least that way, even if I did miss my spot, I wouldn't have missed it by too much. And I've always got a little bit of bait around my hook bait, which obviously helps. So let's have a quick question. I asked this question to myself. Why didn't I catch as many cats on the second day? In fact, I didn't actually catch another catfish on the second day. So taking a step back over these last couple of days to try and work that one out, because, you know, as I always say, when I come away from a session, I like to think about where, you know, where I've gone wrong, what I would have done different, how I could change it going forward. Not that I'm going back there again, but I still think it's well worth thinking about, because it just, you know, it just didn't improve your fishing overall. You know, trying to understand and question things, you know, how could you have done it better? Now, so thinking about that in a bit more depth, Mark and Andrew didn't actually have that many fish throughout the day. So I just solely think it was the first day we had the cats in. We had the cats in our area there, more so in that corner spot, and I just think they just moved out. Yes, you could say that was an excuse, an easy excuse, but I solely do think that was the case. They literally had moved out, and there was just a couple more swimming around there. Corners are always great spots on lakes. Fish love to hide in corners, especially that end was a bit snaggy as well. You know, they have a lot of confidence because they can hide and you know, hide away from other fish. I'll just hide away basically and just chill out. So I think there was a few in the area, but most of them had moved down the other end of the lake. Now, why do I say that as well? I'm not just making a rash comment on the back of that. My observation was that the people to the far right of me certainly were catching more fish that day than what they were yesterday, and that's my evidence there. I feel like that backs that up. There also is another reason why I feel like I didn't get a run. When Steve came round, he made an interesting comment on the second day when he came round. When the carp starts spawning, it puts the catfish off from feeding in that area. And I can't remember or not whether or not I said this on the podcast or not, but that second morning I had carp spawning in my swim in the snag, literally just to the right of me. Now, I'm not using this as an excuse, but if he's right in what he's saying, I had carp. I know I wasn't fishing both my rods right near that snag, but I still had carp spawning in that area. And I'm wondering if that pushed the carp out from my swim, which also didn't help me catch a fish. Now, I don't know if these two points are right or wrong, but and I never will know. But that's my thoughts on why I didn't catch on the second day. So, pretty much repeating myself again, overall 10 out of 10 for this lake. Massive respect to Steve and Karen, the two owners. Very, very helpful. Very, very helpful. Definitely, we were going wrong. They advised us, you know, on what we could do, which might work, and it worked. So thank you so much. And obviously, if you've never caught a catfish before and you want to go somewhere and catch one, this is definitely a place to go. Like, with catfish up to 70 pounds swimming around, Karen said that she said before I went on a post that she feels like it's going to do an 80 pounder. Plenty of 20s swimming around, absolutely plenty of 20s. This is definitely the place to go to catch catfish. Even if you've already caught a catfish before and you just want to go out and get some runs, this is the place to go. It really is absolutely brilliant venue. I can't fault it too much. The only fault I did have, which I made at the beginning, was I just felt that the double swim we had was too small for a double swim. It was a bit cramped there, and that was the case because when the boys were getting a run, they were literally bringing the other rods in, or maybe a couple of them, because they were in the way, which that doesn't sit well for me with my carpy head, because once I've got my rod on a spot, I don't like to move it. It doesn't sit easy with me. But that's my only negative thing about it. But I think I'm still going to give the lake 10 out of 10 because that's minor out of all of it. What's the harm at the end of the day in bringing the rod in, bringing the other rods in when it's a lake you can catch on quite freely anyway? Yeah. So right, I'm going to try and end this here. I really hope this made sense, and I really hope that if you do go to Charlie's Lake in Ashford, please take my tips and at least give them a go, because I feel really strong that these will work for you when you go, and you will catch plenty of catfish, definitely. So anyway, guys, if you have got all the way to the end, because I know this has been a really long podcast, thank you so much. I really do appreciate your continued support. As I said, I hope this one's helped you. I'm gonna go. And I'm going to see you guys in my next podcast. Take care now. If you're not done already, guys, you could do me a massive favour and hit me up on Instagram. Just search Quest Fishing Adventures. On there, I'm uploading some photos and some short videos. You can also ask me questions or give me some advice too. That'd be absolutely mega. Anyway, take care of yourself, guys, and tight lines, and see you on my next podcast.